God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Amen. You may be seated. We're nearing our end of the study on Ephesians. We're not quite there yet. So as far as, so far we've covered seven messages. This would be the eighth. And it's based on the topic of Ephesians. There are three main themes in Ephesians. First, that Christ reconciled creation to himself and to God. That is, that Jesus fixed everything between us and God. Second, that Christ united people from all nations to himself and to one another. So that's a big theme in Ephesians. The first theme is that Christ reconciled us to God. The second theme is that he reconciled us to one another, united us together. And the third one, in light of these two great truths, as Christians, we are to lead lives that are a fitting tribute of gratitude for what the Lord did. Today, I want to take a look at Ephesians chapter 6, the last chapter. We're not going to finish it today, but it's the last chapter in the book of Ephesians. And in chapter 6, you'll see, if your Bible is like mine, that you have four topics that are covered. The first topic is begins at verse 1, and it concerns children and parents. The second is begins in verse 5. And it has to do with bond servants and masters. The third section is a familiar passage, and it's concerning putting on the whole armor of God. And we're going to look at that topic next week. And then the fourth section is a tiny short one. It's the end of nearly every book in the New Testament. And it is it's the final salutation. It's the goodbye that's tacked on the end. I shouldn't say tacked on the end because it makes it sound like it's not valuable. It's not true. It is. But it is the last little section. Today I want our focus to be on chapter 6, verses 1 through 9. So if you have your Bibles, read along with me, reading from the English Standard Version, and we'll be right there. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. Fathers, do not provoke your children's anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Verse 5. Bondservants, obey your earthly masters with fear and trembling, with a sincere heart as you would Christ. Not by the way of eye service as people pleasers, but as bondservants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, rendering service with a good will as to the Lord and not to man, knowing that whatever good anyone does, this he will receive back from the Lord, whether he is a bondservant or is free. Masters, do the same and stop your threatening, showing that he who is both their master and yours is in heaven and that there is no partiality with him. Let's begin by looking at the first four verses. Ephesians 1 through 4. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, for this is the first commandment with a promise. And I would say it's of the Ten Commandments, honor your father and mother is number 5. That it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. Verse 4, fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. These instructions fall right on the heels of chapter 5, where it teaches husbands and wives how to live according to God's decree for them. It's a challenge for husbands and wives to get along. So he starts with the head of the family, the husbands and the wives. And so it's only natural now that he's going to begin to talk to the children because they are a part of the family unit. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. You know what I love about this passage? It says, for this is right. When I read over this, I almost get a sense that he's saying, children, behave yourselves, because that's just what you're supposed to do. It's like, it's a no-brainer. Everybody does this. For this is right. Then he goes on to say something that without the tank statement, most of us would have never noticed. Honor your father and mother. Then it says, this is the first commandment with a promise. Now, I don't think I would have ever taken note of that if it wasn't for this verse bringing it out. But verse 3 says, that it may go well with you, that you may live long on the land. Now, we could spend a lot of time here. I spent a lot of time in my study looking at the Greek words and what they mean and the background of them. And we could do a lot of cross-references because I looked at a lot of cross-references in my study. But after all that study, I decided, what is all this chasing around the pages of the Bible? Well, how is this benefiting us in our daily life? And I kind of came back and I felt like it wasn't benefiting us a whole lot. To do this additional study on this passage, because what it's just saying is, children, obey your parents, for this is right. Says, honor your father and mother, because it's right. That things may go well with you, because that's what's right. That you may live long on the land, because that's what we all want. We all want things to be positive and effective in our lives. You know, in the Old Testament, back when the Ten Commandments were written, and it said, honor your father and mother, have any of you read additional study on how children were to treat their parents? What happened to a disrespectful child in Old Testament times? What was the punishment for that child? Was it a spanking? Was it writing on the blackboard 400 times? What was the punishment for a disrespectful child?
Rod.
Pardon?
The rod.
Yeah. Yep.
Death. Did I hear somebody say that?
Yeah.
Death. They didn't spank him. They stoned him. Put a whole new twist on honor your father and mother when, if you don't, the whole town's going to gather together in a circle around you and pelt you with rocks until you die. Puts a different slant on the idea that it may go well with you, that you may live long on the land. See, could be this passage isn't talking about adding to the number of years. It's talking about not subtracting numbers from your years. Because you see, children, when we obey, we, no matter what our age, we're to obey our parents. Now, does that mean that we're supposed to do what they tell us? Well, certainly sometimes. But your parents can tell you to do most anything. Your parents can tell you to do ungodly things. So you've got to have the Word of God in your heart. You've got to know what it... And if you need to break ranks with your parents, you need to be able to justify that in Scripture. And as parents, when we're instructing our children, no matter what their age, we need to be able to throw a Bible verse on the end of that, so that they will understand that this is what God wants us to do. Why? Because it's right. Verse 4 says, where'd it go? Oh, wait, I'm not quite done with verse 3. Maybe I did. Verse 4. Fathers, don't provoke your kids. That's right up there with about as much instruction as, for this is right. This is right just means it's right, just do it. Don't provoke your kids means don't provoke your kids. You can look that up in the Greek if you want. You want to know what it means? It means don't provoke your kids. I once questioned a young father. His little girl was doing something. He was being harsh to her. And I've kind of, through the years, I've forgotten the details of exactly his interaction with her. But I remember thinking, man, that's not how you want to treat your kid. And I said, I knew him well, and I called him by name, and I said, don't treat your daughter like that, man. You need to love her and cherish her and let her know and sense your love. And he says, you know, I've learned in my life that the world is hard. And a lot of hard things happen in this life. And so what I want to do is I want to allow my daughter to face these hard things from a safe person. And I said, she doesn't know you're safe when you treat her that way. See, he is provoking her by being so strict and so rigid that she couldn't blink without permission. And it's like, man, you gotta lighten up. She does have a whole world out there that's going to treat her bad. But she's only got one father that's going to love her unconditionally on this earth. And it needs to be you. And I want to challenge you as a parent. You need to let your kids know that you may not approve of their behavior, but you approve of them because they're your kids. And when you look at them, you need to see all the potential that lies in them, not based on their past behavior, but based on the God that you know that dwells above us and in us. Because when you see God in your children, you'll start seeing God in other people. And when you see God, you're just going to start seeing Him everywhere. This last weekend was taxing at moments, to say the least. And, you know, things were kind of normal with the kids until we went to the beach. By then, the lack of sleep and the excessive heat was getting to all of us, adults and kids. So, and on the way back, you know, we just walked down to Irondale Beach, and on the way back, it's all uphill, right? But it's hardly a forced march. Give me a break. It's not even a mile down there. And we stopped at every shady spot. And did we stop and talk about pleasant things in every shady spot? No, we stopped and they complained. It's my turn to hold the dog leash. Oh, you couldn't let me ride with Bob Jackson because he had his car. You couldn't ride with Colleen. She had her truck. And, oh, woe is me, woe is me. And after a while, it's like, shut up, Ken. But yet you have to kind of keep that inside. There was just a lot those kids is so important, that they see us acting in a mature and consistent, loving fashion. Because with a lot of those kids, when you talk to them about the Father, you're talking to them about somebody who abandons them. One little child came up to me and said, "Would you pray for my dad?" I said, "Yeah, he's on drugs again." He was on the phone screaming and yelling at everybody because he's doing drugs again. You find out he's never lived with them. What kind of father figure do those kids have in their lives when that's the kind of dad that they have? And who's going to be their dad? Where are they going to learn that fathers listen? Where are they going to learn appropriate touch? Where are they going to learn words of encouragement and blessing? From us. That's why we're in the community. It's not easy being a stand-in for every dad that flakes out. But it is what we do, all of us. Because when those kids look at us, they see religion. They see spiritual people. They see God, male or female. They see us, and they see God. How are you doing? One of the things that I know that drew me to God was the understanding that He loved me unconditionally. And for the first time in my life, I was able to relax and be myself. I have my questions and my doubts about everything. A place where I was able to go and kneel down and talk about my insecurities and my inadequacies. And I would hope those kids maybe begin to learn that. They're a little bit gung for it, but maybe they'll begin to learn. Because when you have a place where you can go and talk about how broken you are, and in the midst of that conversation, you can be reminded of the potential that you have, even in your brokenness. Because the God who created you and created the world, and He is the God who can put His hands underneath of all of us and lift us up high, if we will keep our focus on Him. We are not damned. We are not to be discouraged. We are not to be broken down. We are not to be people who are constantly provoking one another. We are to be people who bless and encourage one another. Now, I struggle with this. I'll be honest with you. I struggle. A lot of you think, "Pastor, you never..." Yes, I do. I struggle. Big time. I had a moment this morning in worship practice, and I was like, "I'm done." And I just got up and left. It's Pastor, not you. Yet me. I had a long weekend. My fuse is short. My temper's kind of boo. You don't know what I'm talking about. But I'm right there, and it's like, I need to have a few minutes by myself. I need to exercise a little anger management. Because I had about 50 things to do and I couldn't be repeating the same thing over and over again. Because I was done and ready to move on and I didn't understand why other people weren't. So I needed to exercise some distance. Well, Pastor, you should have exercised some patience. I should have, but had I done that, my head would have exploded. But none of you could probably relate to that, because you've got this patience thing mastered. I'm still working on it. 30 years later, I'm still working on it. I may die working on it, but I'm working on it. I'm working on it. How about you?
You figure it out, you know.
After this, instructions to the children. And this one sentence to fathers about not aggravating their kids. We move on to path to the next section of the family, the bond servants. We don't really think about them as being part of the normal family. But you know, until after the Civil War, having a servant was pretty common. Having a slave, somebody that maybe you didn't own them, but you brought them into your house. Immigrants trying to settle in America, they were brought into homes, and they cooked and they cleaned. And most of them were given a little time off so that they could do their education, advance themselves. But hey, for one more plate of food, you got to clean the house. It's not a bad deal. Of course, there were slaves, people who were owned. And these are the people that verse 5 begins talking to. Bond servants, obey your earthly masters with fear and trembling. With fear and trembling. And then without a period, but moving on, he says, with a sincere heart as you would to Christ. So with fear and trembling and a sincere heart as you would to Christ, who are you supposed to be afraid of? Is it your master? Never. It's always God that we are to fear. So we're not supposed to be afraid of God. Well, he's the one that holds eternity in his hand for us. So yeah, we're to have a healthy fear of the Lord. And we should treat him as though he is awesome. And as though he's the great majesty. And we treat him that way. And we elevate him. And our fear isn't that he's going to smash us like a bug. Our fear is that we'll disappoint him. And we don't want that. So obey your earthly masters with fear and trembling, and with a sincere heart as you would Christ. Not by way of eye service, as people pleasers. We've all been there, haven't we? Where you play the role and you look good when people are looking at you. But inside, you're not like that at all. And here the scripture is challenging us. Be that way on the inside. As bondservants of Christ. Doing the will of God from the heart. Now you might say, well, I'm a free man or free woman. No one owns me. So this passage doesn't apply to me. It should. Because if you are a believer in Jesus Christ, you have been bought with price. Every single one of us bought and paid for and called on to live a life for God.
Amen.
Bond servants to serve him. Rendering service with a good will as to the Lord and not to man. Knowing that whatever good anyone does, this he will receive back from the Lord. Whether he is a bond servant or is free. Then in verse 9, he goes on to say, masters, do the same thing. Do what's right. And stop your threatening, knowing that he is both their master and yours, is, excuse me, knowing both their master and yours is in heaven, and that there is no partiality with God. Galatians chapter 3, verse 28 says this: there is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free, there is no male and no female, for all are one in Christ Jesus. You know, in the world, there is differences between all of us. We're tall, we're short, we're rich, we're poor, we're articulate, we're not, we're shy, we're proud, we're lonely, we're all these things. But in the kingdom of God, we're just all in Christ, no matter what. And when we look at one another in church, that's what we need to see, is that person who's just in Christ. You know, some people are working on their patience, and so they need help with that. Some people are working on their loneliness. They need help with that. Some people are working on their finances, and they need help with that. So there's all these different facets of our lives, and we're all working on something, most of us working on many things. And we all need some help and guidance from God and from one another. Because it's just right that we would all understand that we're all on the same ship, we're all sailing in the same destination, and if we work together, we're going to get there sooner rather than later. When we look at these passages that talk about children obeying their parents and bondservants obeying their earthly masters, and masters not provoking their bondservants, and fathers not provoking their children. And when we read that there's no difference between the Jew or the Greek or the slave or the free or the male or the female, when we read all that, when we read it from the Word of God, we ask ourselves, is it really true? Because the truth is, if we believed that, we would look at the people that irritate us, and we would change how we think about them. We would line up our thoughts with God's thoughts. We would line up our thoughts with Scripture. These kids that run around here, that honestly drive us all a little nuts. Because they don't have the discipline that they need. They don't have the respect that they should. And if we really believed God's word, we would find a way to love them. And we would throw ourselves into it. The people who are in your life and complain about everything, and the people that drag you down, if we really believed God's word, we would find a way to change how we think about them. Because there's nothing we can do about how they think. But there is something that we can do about how we think. See, if we believe that God's word is true, then we would find a way to be part of the solution for those who struggle and not part of the problem that keeps people away from God. That's what Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 9 are teaching. If we limit it to just children and just slaves, and we boil it down to only the true context, and we put no spiritual application into it, what we're doing is we're making an excuse so that we can treat people poorly. God has not called us to live like that. God has called us to rise high above that. God has called us to be the light of the world, the salt of the earth. He's called us to be the good ones. And so, by golly, we're going to be the good ones. And so, when these times and these seasons come up, and hot weather is a great season to think about this, because we can all get a little short-tempered. I hear it's going to be 90 in the 90s today. If it gets much hotter, I mean, the whole place is just going to go incinerate. It's not fair for us because we don't have air conditioning. Because we don't need it. We live on the peninsula where it's always the same. I have to get in the car and drive around to cool off. We're God's people. And we're going to rise above it because we are able to tap into a source that's above us. That's better than us. A spirit that dwells in our hearts. That makes us new. Brand new. So we are not afraid. Nor are we alone. Here in this passage of Scripture, I want to share some things that I found as I looked at what it takes when about caring for those who are difficult to love. I think there's five of them. The part of them are on the back. Yes, five. So, number one, when it comes to caring for those people who are difficult to love, there's a biblical solution found in this passage. Number one, do what's right. When in doubt, just do what's right. Number two, don't make the problem worse. That sounds simple enough, right? We joke about that all the time. When you find you're in a hole, first thing to do is stop digging. So, don't make the problem worse. Don't exasperate the people and the problems. If some kid is yelling at you, the last thing you do is yell back. Because you're bigger and can be louder doesn't mean you're any smarter if you're yelling at it. So don't make the problem worse. Number three, be sincere. Most people can spot a phony, and most of us find it distasteful when people come at us to do us good. So don't be a phony. Do what's right. Be yourself. Number four, obey God's word. Even if it doesn't make sense, even when it doesn't make sense, none of us are smarter than God. We cannot see the end. And there's so many testimonies that you guys have shared with me through the years about times when you were just obedient to the Lord, and then in the end it all worked out fine. Colleen shared with the kids about how she prayed for this MRI to get approved. I wish she was here. But she prayed for this MRI to get approved. And she prayed on Monday, Lord, I need this MRI. I need something here. And, you know, because she's getting frustrated because it's gone on. It's a simple procedure that they do every day. And because of the insurance and the doctors and stuff, this has gone on since April. It's getting frustrated. It's getting right up there with her patients, right? Bubbling away. And so she prays on Monday, Lord, please. On Wednesday, she calls them and she's like, hey. And they're like, oh, sorry, been busy. They approved it on Monday, the day she prayed. You see, we have so many testimonies about what God does. So, obey God's word, even when it doesn't make sense. None of us are smarter than God, so we must read and obey. Number five, stop treating people bad. That sounds pretty simple. Stop saying bad things to other people. You know, it's the devil that wants us to tell it like it is, and it's God who wants us to speak what can be. That's the voice that we need to have. The attitude that we need to have. That things are going to work out just fine. Why? Faith. hope, love. It'll all be just fine. It'll all be good. That's what it means to be part of the solution, not part of the problem. We can do this. But we need to encourage and correct one another. We read it every week on the wall, slide number one. We need to encourage one another. And sometimes that means rebuking them. And we need to be those people because we are the light that shines on the good and shines on the problem. We spot it and we release it for what it is. Let's stand together. Happened this at main camp. And I mean, lots of things did happen, so I'm not saying that they didn't. But what I am saying is this. Friday night, on my birthday, Colleen brought out a cake and sat it down, and the kids put the candles on it. And I looked at those candles, and I looked at those kids, and I looked at their big eyes, and I thought, what will be my wish? I know you're not supposed to tell your wish, but since I'm not all that superstitious, I'll tell you my wish. My wish was, dear Lord, I pray that you'd win every one of these children to Christ. And then we blew out those candles. And a little later that evening, I sat down to tell them a story about life. And I told them about what God saw when he looked down and saw nothing. And how he spoke into the nothing and created the earth. And how he loved man and made him to be here on earth. And how men began to disappoint him and wandered away from him. Just like a rebellious child. And how God decided he's going to wipe out everybody, but there was one guy, Noah, who found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And I challenged him. And God looks at you, does he see a man like Noah? And we talked about starting over. And we talked about how God sent Jesus to fix it all. Save it all and to resurrect it all, and how that applies to us. So on my birthday, I got to share Jesus Christ for 14 years. Did they respond? Not my business. My business is telling the story over and over and over and over and over again. He said, well, if nobody ever responds, it gets disappointing, does it? I just keep telling the story. It makes me feel good every time I tell it. It makes me happy. But I have this strange feeling that if the kids can see true joy in me, or if you can see true joy in me, that maybe, just maybe, you might come to follow Christ. If they might come to follow Christ. And that maybe, just maybe, someday I'll get to heaven. And the Lord will say to me, you know, David, I have my doubts about you, but well done. Father, I ask your blessings on this congregation. I pray, Lord, that every one of them will hear, well done, my good and faithful servant. I pray that you'd give them a good week this week, that you'd answer their prayers. Father, I know some of them have health concerns, and they've got some pretty big worries. But Father, I pray that you touch their bodies. And that you bring them healing. That you hold them in your arms and you carry them through these tests. And I pray, Father, that they would not pull back from doing what is good. what is right. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.